Good morning. This is Mike Stoller for the Stoller Real Estate Report on the Cats Roundtable. What is life science? You hear about it, but you don't know what it is. What is it confined to? What type of buildings do you do? What kind of tenants do you have? I really don't have any idea of life sciences, so I brought the expert, the vice chairman at CBRE, Bill Hartman. Mr. Life Science, tell me the definition of life science.
Well, it goes in many different directions.
Good, that's why we're here today.
But at its cure, at its core is the cure of disease, and that can take many forms. I mean, if you look at what's happened over the last 20 years, you have companies like Gilead producing a cure, for, not a treatment, but a cure for Hep C. 5 million people with a chronic disease now living healthy lives. So it's all about the patient and delivering cures. And recently, you're seeing companies like BMS and Merck with their new oncology drugs that are changing the landscape for people. When you get a diagnosis for cancer, your life changes. And so the result of that research that's done in labs around the world, at institutions, at biotechs, at pharma companies, is changing how we deliver cures to patients globally.
So what type of buildings do we use? Life science.
So they're pretty
robust. Especially in the metropolitan area.
So we'll keep it to the metropolitan when it goes globally. I mean, you need very robust facilities that include HVAC that is multiple of what you would have in an office. You have it running 24/7. You have power that's double what you would see in an office building. But there are similarities that you have big high ceilings and amenities that have become very important, both to the office users and as well to the lab. And you'll see examples of that, whether it's at the Cure on 345 Park or 125 West End Avenue or the Alexandria Center. They're all very concerned with the work environment. And the beautiful thing about the labs is you kind of have to be in the lab to do your work, unlike in the office sector. You can work from home or, frankly, from anywhere in a lot of cases.
I mean, the first major entity to come in was Alexandria. Okay, yeah, on 30th Street and First Avenue, York Avenue over there. Now, they were supposed to build another building. What happened on them?
So I think the timing just hasn't been right. Right? I'm pretty sure they were ready to go before the pandemic. The pandemic hit and the game just changed. And I know they have plans to kick it off again. I don't know that they've announced it yet, but they're balancing that smartly with the demand, and I suspect they'll probably come out in the next year or so.
What about the repurposing of office buildings and other structures for lab space?
So that's very challenging as converting office to residential, which is a big issue these days. We probably looked at every building available for sale in New York over the last decade, and very small portion of them will actually work as a conversion, and mostly because you need high ceilings, heavy floor loads, a lot of power, and most of the buildings did not sort of meet those criteria.
Now, you were quoted recently, in addition, speaking to me on the phone, is that we've had the worst 2 years in the life science business. What do you mean by that, and what does the future look like?
So from the business perspective, very little capital raise, so that's painful because we all follow the money, and then the money eventually will turn into real estate demand. The demand on the real estate side has diminished. So if you look at the major markets, Boston, San Francisco, San Diego, those markets, the demand there has probably been cut by 70%. And it's at a time when there is huge, huge inventory coming online. In Boston, there's 15 million square feet of space coming online. In San Francisco, 8. So with the backdrop of that diminished demand and increased supply, it's a pretty challenging time all around. And the same dynamic has happened here in New York. The demand is lower, and the building supply actually could be considered a good thing because New York has always had a hard time delivering lab space to the users here.
Who's financing and providing equity for the lab space business?
So it's unlike when Alexandria first started building here. The capital was not as robust as it is now. I mean, Alexandria is a huge, huge company now. Biomed Realty was bought by Blackstone. they're very well capitalized. The other players have different capital sources throughout, and the smaller, less well-capitalized companies have raised capital. And listen, in the last, prior to the pandemic and during the pandemic, the demand for life science product was through the roof. The cap rates are lower than office, and it was a very, very hot product. Obviously, that's changed at this point. But so the capital was robust. Right now, it's a little bit trickier, not unlike the office.
Now, where is the capital coming from? Is it domestic? Is it private equity? Is it the stock market?
Interestingly, it's both private equity, public markets, and philanthropy. So it's a bit of a mix.
So let's talk about certain recent projects, the Sotheby's project.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we looked at buying that like five times over the last decade, and finally they were able to put a deal together with our associates here at CBRE. While Cornell, who had been in the market looking for space for quite a while, put together a very creative deal for probably a half or two-thirds of that building. And so the rest of what happens to that building will also probably be lab or some type of medical. So that deal is just absolutely fantastic. And they always wanted to stay right near campus. And if you talk to any of those institutions, their scientists do not want to have to walk more than a block to get to their lab. So that location works really perfect for them.
That's interesting. Now, NYU did certain deals last year, correct?
Yes, and they weren't quite as lucky. They did a deal in Long Island City at Innolabs. They did a deal at Cure. So their scientists will have to walk a little bit, but it's, you know, it's still great space for them to operate in.
Speaking about Long Island City, most of the lab projects have been in Manhattan, and I think there's one also in Brooklyn. But what's happened to the opportunities in Long Island City in this business?
So if you need space, Long Island, for a lab user, and maybe you're a young company with not great credit and not a lot of resources, it's a great place because the rents are 30 to 50% less than Manhattan prices. The accessibility with the transit is great, as you know, all throughout New York, that's the case. So it offers a different type of product than Manhattan. So that's very helpful for the ecosystem here.
Now, what is the current rents today for lab science?
So it depends on the condition of the space, but in Long Island City, you can be anywhere from $60 to $90 per square foot, triple net. And then in Manhattan, you're going to look at $110 to $130 per foot, triple net.
Okay, last year, I think it was $98. So you expect it to go up by 20%?
No, so those are specific. That 120 was specific to certain buildings.
Okay.
So on average, I don't expect the rents to go up in the next year.
Do you see foreign investors coming to invest in life science here?
I think they're always looking at it. So the answer there is yes. And there's a handful that focus on it. It's a very specialty type of item. So the interest is, you know, you have to really develop an expertise to start investing in there. So it's not as widespread as, say, office.
Now, New Jersey was once a leading pharma place. Has the pharma industry from New Jersey come to New York?
To some extent, it has. It more often went to, and I can name, you know, three or four senior executives from Big Pharma who are no longer in Jersey, but most likely, and more often, they're either in San Francisco or Boston.
So those are the leading spaces.
Yeah, those markets are the most robust. But New York has come a long way, and you know, we still have a long way to go, though, clearly.
So what major projects do you see taking place in 2024 and 25?
It's called leasing up the buildings that are already built and sitting there waiting for the tenancy.
So what's the vacancy right now?
Oh, it's depending on how you define it. It's 25-30% overall. It's a big number.
That's significantly higher for the life science over the period. So I think life science is alive. It's going to continue. And I'd like to thank Bill Hartman for being here today.
Thanks, Mike.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.